Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
Welcome to a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports. It's right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. As always, happy to be with you on the afternoon drive as we talk both local and national sports. And today we're going to divvy it up pretty equally. We are going to talk NBA basketball because we are just a couple of days away from the draft. Haven't really focused too much on the Utah Jazz. I know we've talked about a couple of prospects, but what will the Jazz do with that 21st pick? I think this is the offseason where Utah needs to be aggressive, but at the same time, they have the possibility of adding a couple of more complimentary pieces. So we're going to talk about that on the show today. Also on the local sports front, Coach Jeff Cincinnatus of the Helper American Legion baseball team will join us. Helper was originally scheduled to go toe-to-toe in doubleheader action in Richfield against St. George and Dixie. However, those games have been canceled tonight. So to talk some American Legion baseball, we will be joined by Coach Jeff Cincinnatus. That's some of the stuff that we have coming up on the show today. I think right now we did take a look at the Major League Baseball scoreboard, and there was some excellent baseball already today. The Dodgers and the Cubs played makeup from a game that was postponed yesterday. The Dodgers find a way to get a win 4-3 despite only registering six hits. The Dodgers were down to their final strike in the top of the ninth inning before Kyle Farmer laced a pinch hit double down the third baseline, scoring Austin Barnes and Justin Turner, and then Kenley Jansen came in for the save, and the Dodgers got the 4-3 win. They are now 38-33, while the Cubs are 40-29, and that was the only day baseball game so far. Plenty of action coming up, though, in the 5 o'clock hour. Seattle will take on the Yankees. You know, the Mariners have played so well without Robbie Cano. I don't know if anybody could have predicted that. But the Mariners have 46 wins. The Yankees have 47 wins. Solid matchup tonight. Marco Gonzalez will be on the mound to go up against Domingo German for the New York Yankees. Also, we get the Orioles and the Nationals at 5:05. The Cardinals and the Phillies. The Brewers will travel to meet the Pittsburgh Pirates. The Blue Jays will play host to the Atlanta Braves. And then we get the Indians hosting the White Sox and the Tigers at the Reds. All of those games in the 5 o'clock hour. At 6:10 tonight, it's the Red Sox and the Minnesota Twins. Chris Sale will be on the mound for the Red Sox. He'll go up against Jose Berrios of the Twins. I like this matchup a lot. Minnesota falling off pace a little bit. Six games under 500 as it stands right now. And, of course, the Red Sox are rolling at 49-24. Also in the 6 o'clock hour, we get the Rays and the Astros. Justin Verlander will take the bump tonight for the Stros. We get the Rangers and the Royals, plus the Mets and the Rockies. 8 o'clock hour, the Diamondbacks and the Angels. We get the Padres and the A's. The Giants will play host to the Marlins. And we also have one more game in the 6 o'clock hour. The Dodgers and the Cubs will play game 2 of that doubleheader. We'll see if it lives up to the excitement of game 1. We did talk a lot of baseball yesterday, and we talked about the Houston Astros and their 11-game winning streak. It is now up to 12 following yesterday's 5-4 win over the Tampa Bay Rays. I mean, they did it again with pitching, holding their opponent to 4 runs or less. They've been phenomenal in that regard during this 11-game stretch. They beat the Rangers 5-2 and 4-3. They beat the A's 6-3 and 7-3, and the Royals 7-3 and 7-4. Now the Rays 5-4, not giving up very many runs, and Justin Verlander has been an ace for Houston so far this year. We'll see if he can continue that stretch tonight. As far as some of the other news in the national sports scene goes, I don't want to call it the dog days of summer yet, but we're approaching the dog days of summer, especially with the Major League Baseball All-Star break right around the corner. Really, if we talk NBA basketball, it's kind of just hearsay and abstract conversation. There was a report earlier today that mentioned the Cleveland Cavaliers would be the most likely team to select Michael Porter Jr. in Thursday's draft. Now, we talked about this yesterday because Sacramento has said that they will consider drafting Porter at number two. It is assumed that DeAndre Ayton would go number one. According to Joe Varden of Cleveland.com, several sources ranging from NBA execs all the way to agents and scouts have told Cleveland.com that the Cavs would most likely draft Porter if they could. They will not comment on the draft strategy, but there are a couple of other teams that I think could throw a wrench into the equation if you're going to draft for upside. We spent a whole segment on this particular topic yesterday. I don't really want to go down that path once again, but it's interesting to see. You know, it's an agent-driven league, and you're starting to see things just a couple of days ahead of the draft leak out. But they always say where there's smoke, there's fire. So again, plenty of topics to talk about and watch in the NBA. I do want to talk Major League Baseball one last time before we head into the first commercial break. The Baltimore Orioles and the Arizona Diamondbacks have reportedly discussed a trade that would involve Orioles shortstop Manny Machado. This would make a lot of sense. Right now, the Diamondbacks are at the top of the NL West, but the Dodgers are definitely threatening. When you talk about the Machado sweepstakes, two teams have really climbed to the top, the Cubs and the Dodgers. Why wouldn't the Diamondbacks get involved in this particular discussion? As it sits right now in the NL West, the Diamondbacks are at 40-32, a game and a half better than the Dodgers at 38-33, and they actually share the same amount of wins as the Chicago Cubs. This was reported by Bleacher Report earlier today as well. The Orioles right now are just 20-50. They're in last place in the AL, 27 and a half games back of the New York Yankees. They're really not contending anytime soon, so trading Manny Machado before he leaves as a free agent would definitely speed up that rebuilding process. One of the best offensive players in the league, and Machado's only 25 years old, so I would expect them to want a king's ransom for him. But throw the Diamondbacks into that equation, and it would also keep a division rival in L.A. from acquiring Machado. So those are a couple of more abstract storylines. I don't know if you can call them abstract hearsay storylines to talk about. But a quiet day, to say the least, in the national sports front. Again, coming up on the show today, we are going to talk some helper American Legion baseball when we return. Plus, we'll dive into the NBA draft, again, just 48 hours away from the first selection. That's coming up on this Tuesday edition of Drive Time Sports, right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Reporting from the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. And we will begin on the American Legion baseball diamond. Tonight, the Helper Merchants were scheduled to travel to Richfield for a doubleheader action with St. George and Dixie. Those contests have been canceled from the schedule. Helper will resume action this Friday. They'll play host to Salem Hills in a night game that is scheduled to begin at 7:30. Now, on the flip side, the Price Raptors of the American Legion ranks will take tonight off. They will return to the field also on Friday. They'll go toe-to-toe with Salem Hills. That contest will take place before Salem Hills goes toe-to-toe with Helper at 5 p.m. As it sits right now, Helper has the best record in the Utah American Legion Southern Division. They're sitting at a perfect 3-0. Springville is in second place at 4-2, followed by St. George at 3-2. Dixie is in fourth at 4-4, and both Price and Westlake are at the bottom of the division, still looking for that first win at 0-6. In the Central Division, Salem Hills is a perfect 5-0, but right behind them is Pleasant Grove at 5-1 and Taylorsville at 4-1. Roosevelt has played just one league game up to this point. They're sitting at 1-0. Skyline is 1-5, and Sky Ridge is in last place at 0-3. Again, stay tuned to Castle Country Radio. We'll continue to talk American Legion baseball. In fact, today on KOAL's Drive Time Sports, we'll be joined by Jeff Cincinnatus. We'll talk about the early going for the Helper baseball squad. So far, they've already claimed a tournament championship in Idaho and again hold an unbeaten record in league play. Now, we stick with the diamond, but we move over to junior college baseball. And the USU Eastern baseball team will hold a showcase camp this Saturday, June 23rd. Now, the camp will take place at the USU Eastern Baseball Field, also known as the Klosmo Carlson Field, which is located at 1000 North, 1150 East in Price. The camp will begin at 10 a.m. and it will run until 5 p.m. High school players in grades 9 through 12 and recent graduates from the class of 2018 are invited to come to the camp. The cost is $50 per athlete. This is a golden opportunity for those interested in playing baseball past high school to get a look from the USU Eastern coaching staff. For more information, or if you have any questions, contact head manager Scott Mattson at 650-0220. You can also find more information on the camp by visiting castlecountryradio.com. It's also there you will find a link to register online. Diamond H Productions is inviting the community to Bull Riding Extreme at the Carbon County Fairgrounds Event Center on July 6th. Now, this event will work in conjunction with Warrior Days. The gates will open at 6 p.m. and the events will begin at 7 p.m. We were recently joined by Monroe Magnuson, who will handle the PA for the event, and he talked about the family fun that's straight ahead.
Tradition would tell you that bull riding is the most dangerous event in rodeo, and it's really not when you look at the statistics. But for some reason, there's something out there that with bull riding that just grabs the fan and pulls them into the arena. And you know what? Especially when you get the music, the fast pumping, hard rock, well, not hard rock, but fast pumping, high emotion music going, you know, and the noise and everything. I guess it just makes for a great show. Yeah, we're going to add to it, of course.
Tickets can be purchased in advance. Make sure you visit castlecountryevents.com for more information or visit castlecountryradio.com. Again, this will be Bull Riding Extreme at the Carbon County Fairgrounds Event Center on July 6th. As far as the bull riders go, there will be three from the local area, including former Emory High School standout Audie Allred. You can find more news, sports, and community events at castlecountryradio.com. Reporting from the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
There's no crying in baseball!
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things. Play ball!
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Holy cow!
Let's talk local baseball in the Coach's Corner. Really have not had a lot of discussions on the American Legion season. We're going to change that this week. In fact, we're going to change it right now. We're joined in the studio by Coach Jeff Cincinnatus. The season is about 3 weeks deep. Helper is at the top of the Southern Division with a perfect record of 3-0 in league play. Tonight's game's canceled. We'll talk about that and more right now with Coach Jeff Cincinnatus. Coach, as always, good to get you in. Thank you.
Thanks for sneaking me in, Jordan. I appreciate it.
Always, Coach. We haven't had a lot of time to talk about the Helper American Legion team so far, but up to this point, you guys have played well over the course of 3 weeks. I know there's always room for improvement, but the fact remains you guys haven't lost a league game yet at this point, and you also picked up a tournament win in Idaho.
Yeah, it's been a quick 3 weeks, and you know, just haven't had much of a chance to do anything, but the kids are playing well. We did go to Burley, Idaho, in a wood bat tournament 2 weekends ago, and went 3-1 while we was there. And you know, it wasn't a true tournament atmosphere. You just played everybody once, but with our 3-1 record, we ended up being the tournament champions, which is good. We took a short squad down; only had 11 guys make the trip. Just a lot of things going on right now with school getting out and kids kind of going in every direction and basketball camps getting started and football, you know, workouts obviously too. So we were a little shorthanded, and you know, some other guys got some opportunities that they may not have gotten otherwise. But you know, like you said, there's always room for improvement. I thought we could have very easily went 4-0 and should have down there, but it was a good opportunity for us. And then, you know, like you said, we're 3-0 in our league right now. Picked up a good win against Dixie last week, and then obviously the two wins with Price. And you know, we're going to get going pretty hard here in our region schedule, so to speak, league schedule with Legion Ball the next 2 or 3 weeks. We've got a lot of games jam-packed into our schedule. So it's just getting busy right now and still trying to figure out, you know, who's going to be there every game. And you know, I've got just, like I said, I've got guys gone all this week down to the Dixie State basketball camp. I think I've got a total of 10 guys that are gone when you look at all three teams that we've got running right now. So, you know, guys just kind of scattered everywhere, and we're kind of making do with what we have available. But, you know, I'm still excited about, you know, what the summer holds for us and some guys getting some opportunity to make us better next year when the high school season rolls around.
As far as the roster goes, I know that there's always some changes that have been made. You guys did add Easton Gordon from Emory High School. He did play with you guys a little bit in Idaho, if I remember right. So, I mean, all in all, Coach, it's basically a Carbon High School roster mixed with – Easton's the only kid from Emory, right?
Yeah. Yeah, Easton went down to Idaho with us. Obviously, we were shorthanded, and I gave him a call and asked if he'd like to go with us. You know, I was – you know, I'm not gonna lie, I was a little disappointed we didn't get any Emory County kids again this year to come over this summer. I always look forward to having those kids come over and help us and make themselves better, and I'm assuming that maybe they've got something going on with the summer to to make their team better. But, you know, Easton's a good kid. I've known him forever. I mean, you know, me and Steven went to school together and played a lot of ball together. And he just he helps us, our team, out tremendously and gets along with our guys really well. And, you know, for the remainder of the summer, I've told him, you know, we're excited to have him play whenever he can. May not be on an everyday basis because of his schedule this summer with work and some other things, but anytime he can come and help us and play with us, it helps us out. So, but other than that, yeah, it's just an all carbon high roster. If you look at our 19U team, it's really made up of a lot of older guys who graduated this year. Jaden Flemmett, who graduated last year, is back playing with us, and you know, I think we only have maybe five or six guys who will actually return on my high school team next year playing with that group. The majority of our returning guys are playing on our 17U team. And then we know we have a group of incoming freshmen that are playing in that Perfect Game League, and they're really holding their own and playing really well right now. I'm excited about that incoming talent next year and the opportunity that some of those kids, you know, may see some varsity time next year for us if they continue to play and develop the way they are right now. So, you know, I'm excited about all of our groups, but, you know, this 19U team is made up of a lot of guys that, you know, we won't get a chance to see again next year at the high school level, which, you know, is a little depressing because there is a lot of good talent there, obviously, coming off our state finish and whatnot, but still excited about what the summer brings and what it means to our high school program.
Is that fun for you as a coach, getting to, you know, teach these kids at least one more time, knowing that they're not coming back next year?
Yeah, I still find a lot of, you know, satisfaction in it. And, you know, and I've told all this group of seniors, I mean, Cody Lowe has already accepted an offer to play at Eastern Utah. But I've told them all that, you know, there's an opportunity to go and try out for that program or any program that they want to try out for and further their baseball career. So if this somehow helps them in the summer, you know, stay focused and get better so that when the fall time rolls around, they're able to go to a tryout at any particular college. I mean, that's what it's for. I mean, I've always told them if we're just doing this for fun, you know, that's maybe not so much what I want this program to be about. But if we're doing it to try and further our career and do something, you know, and I really believe that every kid I have out has an opportunity to go play somewhere. So, you know, I don't just have anybody out there who I feel is just out wasting my time or their time. So, for me, it still, you know, satisfies the fact that I'm trying to move these kids, you know, past high school and put them in a college atmosphere and see what they can do. And, you know, for some of them, obviously, that's not going to happen. But the opportunity is definitely there, and it's on them to make the most of their opportunity. So as long as I can continue to offer that opportunity, you know, I'm fine with it.
Again, we're being joined right now by Helper American Legion baseball coach Jeff Cincinnati. Coach, let's talk about the Southern Division. As it sits right now, Helper a perfect 3-0. You guys had two games scheduled tonight. Unfortunately, those games have been canceled, but that doesn't mean that you guys aren't going to be playing some competitive baseball. You got a big couple of days coming up, Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, our games tonight, we were supposed to travel to Richfield, play Dixie again, and, you know, a really good St. George team who's a lot like us again this year. Obviously, they were state champs last year and runner-up in the Western Regionals to the eventual World Series winner out of Nevada. So that tells you the kind of talent that the St. George team has. And they bring back a lot of guys on that team that played last year and graduated and whatnot. So they're going to be a definite challenge for us. Those games are going to get moved because of St. George has a tournament they're running this week. And just with the amount of games and the pitch count rules, there's just, you know, there's no way you can play 7, 8, 9 games in 1 week. It's just not going to happen. So, you know, we're going to move those games to another time during the year and get them in. But then our team plays at home with Salem Hills Friday night, who's really, really good, and then travels up and plays, you know, Taylorsville and Pleasant Grove. Pleasant Grove won our league last year, and it's good to see a team like Taylorsville that's a, you know, a historic program in Utah, you know, going back to the 90s when they were so successful, and they've got a new coach this year who's trying to get them back to being competitive up in Salt Lake. And so they came back to Legion ball, so I'm excited about that, and they're playing well. So, you know, the road trip this weekend on Saturday playing Pleasant Grove and Taylorsville is going to be a very tough one for us on you know, with 1 day, and then playing Salem Hills Friday night. So three really big games for us. Could go either way. You know, we could be 0-3, we could be 3-0. You just never know. Either way, we're going to, you know, do our best and play hard and hopefully continue to get better for the summer. But yeah, we have some really big games coming up this week.
If we look all the way around the division, Springville, St. George, Dixie, Westlake, and Price, I mean, front to back, Coach, it seems like it is fairly competitive. But then I take a look at the Central Division. We have Salem Hills, Pleasant Grove, Taylorsville, all just within one game of one another. So throughout the state, it looks as if the American Legion, I guess we could say that the Legion field itself is starting to get back to its competitive self. It appears that way.
Yes, we added some really good teams like we just mentioned. And when you look at it, you know, the North still has a league up there with Layton and those teams that are going to be really competitive. But I look at the teams we have in this Central and Southern League that we've kind of developed over the last couple of years. It's getting back to being competitive. I mean, I told our guys at the beginning of the year, as good as group as we have, you know, to be one of the top four teams to go back to the state tournament out of this Central and Southern League is going to be very tough. You know, there's six or seven really good teams in that league combined, and for us to be one of the top four is not going to be an easy thing for us. So, you know, we've got to play some really good baseball and hope that, you know, some teams lose a game here and there that maybe they shouldn't have. But, you know, I'm excited about the competition. I mean, you don't ever want to just be in a league where, you know, you don't have to do a lot and compete and, you know, go to a state tournament or whatever it is. I mean, you want to be challenged every day. And, you know, for the last few years, that challenge really hasn't been there on an everyday basis. It has been, you know, one or two games throughout the season. But we're looking at it now where, you know, pretty much every night you play, you're going to be challenged to win ball games, which obviously is going to help our program at the high school level because the competition level is getting back up in the summer to where it once was. So I'm excited about these teams coming in and, you know, win or lose in the summertime. Obviously, you know, I love to win and I want to win and I'm a competitor and Legion state titles are something I take very seriously. But just the fact of the competition that you're going to play in the summer now means it's going to help your high school program out tremendously come springtime.
If we look at some of the other teams that you have, you mentioned the 17 and under team and then, of course, the freshman group that you have playing in the Perfect Game League, Coach, it's probably a really short period of time, but have you noticed growth in these kids?
Oh, I have. You know, even like our 17U team is not, you know, not won a lot of games so far. They've struggled, and they're really seeing that they need to do a lot of things different before the high school season rolls around next year, maybe that they weren't realizing, you know, coming up from that sophomore level and now going to have to compete at a varsity level next year because we are going to need their help graduating 10 seniors this year. You know, we're going to have sophomores and freshmen playing at the varsity level. So, you know, they're seeing that the competition, the hitting, the pitching that they're seeing, you can't make, you know, these routine errors. I mean, they're getting to see a lot of that ball and they're getting to see it firsthand right now in the summer, kind of slapping them across the face so far, so to speak. And, you know, and that's a good thing. I mean, am I disappointed that they're not winning a lot of games? You know, sure, but I'm excited the fact that they're seeing why they're not winning and learning some things right now that they might not have got a chance to learn, you know, without this 17U American Legion competition that they're playing this year, because it's the first time we've had this team, you know, playing in a league. And so they're getting some time that no one else, you know, got at their level. So, and then this incoming freshman group, I mean, they're competing against, you know, sophomores and juniors on some of the teams they're playing this summer, and they're holding their own and winning a lot of games. So, you know, they're getting a chance to see that, you know, the competition is good for them and some things they need to work on. So I've definitely seen some growth. I haven't had a real chance to watch all of our teams play because, you know, it just with time and everything else, but, you know, getting the reports from the different coaches that I have helping me, you know, I'm excited about it, even though we've lost some games. You know, there's still a lot of positives to find in that, and then know that you got to work harder to get better. So, you know, regardless of the wins and losses this summer, it's going to be an experience that's going to make us better when it all is said and done.
Big weekend for you guys. Once we get past this week, basically 3.5 weeks left in the season, and then you guys will be playing or preparing for the state championship tournament.
Yeah, it comes on you fast. I mean, the 17U group will be competing in a state tournament at the end of this month, which is, you know, just like we're talking about, you know, a week or two away. And then, you know, 3 weeks after that, you know, the 19U will be competing in their state tournament. And, you know, in the summer, will virtually be gone by then, and yeah. It just flies by. You know, we sit and wait for it, and then it just goes by so fast. But you know, with everything going on with football camps, basketball camps, and everything, our kids are spread pretty thin, and man, they get a lot jammed into 2 months. There's no doubt about it. So, you know, I think we'll all be looking forward to this week-long moratorium period that we have you know, the first of July to give us just kind of a week off, and then it's really jam packed in there the next 2 weeks with Legion Bowl. So, you know, I'm excited about it. I'm a little wore out, to be honest with you. You get after it, and I'm not as young as I used to be, and I know these kids are wore out with everything going on. But hey, that's life nowadays. And you know, if you want to be a multi-sport athlete in high school, which I recommend, you know, all of our kids to be multi-sport athletes. I mean, we're at a school where, you know, I don't think we can just have one sport athlete, guys or women. We need to promote our athletes to play multiple sports. And any college coach I've ever talked to, the first question when they ask you about a kid of, you know, a player of yours is, are they an athlete? Not are they a baseball player?
Right.
Are they a basketball player? They want to know if they're an athlete. Do they play other sports? Because they love kids that play other sports. And, you know, nowadays, it doesn't matter what program you're looking at. They want athletes. They don't want just single sport kids. So, you know, if any kids are listening, you know, upcoming guys that are wanting to play, you know, be a multi-sport athlete. And, you know that us coaches are going to work with you the best we can to get you to basketball camps and football camps and baseball. I've heard that excuse, well, I can't play baseball because, you know, I got to go to football camp, or I got to go to basketball camp, or I can't do this. Well, to me, that's just what I just said. It's an excuse. We are willing to work with our athletes here a lot more than a lot of other high schools do to make sure that they have a chance to do whatever they want to do. And it might mean missing a basketball camp or missing a couple baseball games or a 7-on-7 football, but if you can make it to the majority of all those practices and workouts, I still think as coaches that we're happy with that and pleased with it. So, again, we need to make sure that we're doing that with our athletes and know that the kids have a chance to do that as well. So just keep that in mind. Know us coaches will work with you best we can, and I know the summer flies by and we jam a lot to you, but I think you'll be better for it in the long run.
Coach, it's always fun to get you in and talk about the summer programs. Best of luck as you guys travel this week on the road, and hopefully we can catch up next week and recap it.
Thanks, Jordan. I appreciate it.
Again, that's Coach Jeff Cincinnaris of the Helper American Legion baseball team. We've got a break for just a moment. We're going to return. We'll continue to talk NBA basketball. James Holis of bballbreakdown.com will join us, and we'll dissect Thursday's NBA draft. That's coming up next here on Drive Time Sports.
Hi, this is Jason Kidd. You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Bescarini, KOAL, 750 AM.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL, 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Counting down the days to the NBA draft, 2 days away actually, Thursday night. We'll get a lot of clarity. At least I hope we get some clarity. Joining us right now to talk a bit about it and some of the storylines that we haven't discussed already over the last week and a half, we have James Holis of bballbreakdown.com. James, as always, so much fun to get you on the show. Thank you again for making time today.
Thanks for having me on, man. I always appreciate it. Somebody has to listen to me and cares what I say. I appreciate it.
Well, you definitely voiced that opinion. That's what I love about you so much. We're going to dive right into it and talk about the draft and what we have up and coming on Thursday night. Like I said, some storylines that I think are going to maybe, I'm not going to say give us clarity, but I think we're going to see some things play out in the right direction. I know in years past, there's always some teams that will try to unload some salary on draft night, some teams that appear to be buyers, some that appear to be sellers, and I think we get that again this year, James. Maybe for me, that's the most interesting part of Thursday night.
Yeah, the league is in so much flux, and it all starts and ends with LeBron James and obviously with Kawhi Leonard. But we know that with those, you know, with high picks, Cavs have the 8th pick, and, you know, teams that might want Kawhi have picks. There's so much flux right now. We have no idea how things are going to shake out. And, like, you know, a good smart friend of mine, that being you, I'm pretty sure you think there's going to be a lot of player movement, maybe even on draft night. So I've never been good at really estimating that kind of thing. But I do know that this last year was a hugely, like, tumultuous offseason for the league. This might be, like, close to that because, like, things are going to change a lot this summer.
Yeah, I agree. And I'll tell you, last year, one of the big surprises was Jimmy Butler being moved. So if you have to pick a superstar, and I guess we could throw Jimmy, I'm fine throwing Jimmy Butler in the superstar mold. If you have to pick a guy with that type of name recognition that gets moved on Thursday night, who would it be? Who could you see in that realm getting moved?
I don't think Kawhi is going to get moved on that night, right? I think Kawhi is going to, they might take their time with the Kawhi issue. Well, I mean, it's a possibility. So I'll just roll the dice and say that because I can't think of two other people. Oh, Kemba Walker.
Okay.
Kemba might be on the move.
Yeah. I agree with you there. I agree with you there. As far as Kemba Walker goes, you know, we can talk about Kemba here for a second. We're talking about a guy that is relatively low priced at this particular time, looking at what's ahead, you know, what the market is going to be set at. It would make sense for Charlotte to move him, right?
I think it makes sense, because I think they're kind of on that treadmill, right? That AC, right, just missed the playoffs treadmill, where they don't have the wherewithal. There's no money or picks to get them really make them a lot better. But, you know, they just don't have the talent to be better. So, yeah, I think it might be time to move on from Kemba. I know he didn't, you know, he was in tears talking about it. And, you know, he's been he loves being in Charlotte. But I think for him and for the franchise, it might be time to make a move. So, he's good. But and like you said, though, I think he's only making $12 million somehow for the next couple of years. So, that's they won't get the return maybe they want, but maybe they can get a good young player or a good pick for him.
Well, let's talk about some of the guys that are waiting to hear their names called on Thursday night. Last year, it was a really fun draft class to talk about. There was a lot of opinions being thrown around from everyone. Who should go 2? Who should go 3? Who should go 4? We kind of seen the way that played out. This year, I think there's a consensus number 1, and that's DeAndre Ayton. You and I had a conversation off of the cuff, and you're not sold on Ayton being the number 1 pick in the draft.
He is a man-child. I think offensively, he looks like he can do a lot of things that, you know, maybe the quote unquote modern sitter can't. He has, like, he can face up. He has a little jumper. He's not bad at straight line drives to the hole. But, like, do you really want your center doing that? You're on a team with Devin Booker and Josh Jackson, and, you know, the NBA is up and down outside in nowadays. Do you really want your center? How much offensive responsibility do you want to give your center? And, like, if he can't defend, we've seen it. Enes Kanter is a pretty skilled offensive player, but if you can't defend, you're going to get played off the floor. Same thing with our guy Jokic in Denver. Jokic's really talented. He's super skilled, and people try to show a metric to say defensively he's not as bad as people think he is. But, you know, I've seen guys blow by him and go around him, and he doesn't really block shots. Like, that matters, and, you know, that kind of lowers the ceiling on your team. So, I mean, long term, I don't know if Ayton's going to be the best player in this class. I think he can be an impact guy. I don't know how high of an impact he's going
to
have.
If I was to compare Ayton to Karl Anthony Towns, what would you say to that comparison?
And, like, see, that's a very good comparison, because Karl Anthony Towns is otherworldly skilled. He has all the tools to be a good defender, but, I mean, by a lot of metrics, he's one of the worst defenders in the league this year. And, like, once Jimmy Butler went down, even with Wiggins and the other guys they signed, they weren't a good team. I think Wiggins is going to year 4 next year.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't been, Karl Anthony Towns going to year 4. They just haven't been a good defensive team, and he's not a good defender, and, like, that matters. So maybe he gets it, and maybe it takes a couple years, and that's fine. But, yeah, it's great to watch, but when a guy puts a lot of big numbers and you still lose because, you're being outscored 132 to 128, that's not a good thing. So we'll see, man.
I do like the middle rounds in this draft. I think we know, for the most part, who's going to be the top 6, top 7 picks. Maybe not in any particular order, but we know who the top 6, top 7 guys are. I'm going to say, with the variable of Michael Porter, I don't know who takes a risk on him and where he goes. We know he's extremely talented, but you have to be concerned a little bit with the injuries. Once we get to the middle rounds, there are some players out there like a Zaire Smith, a Troy Brown, a Robert Williams, a Jerome Robinson. There's some talent that I think we're going to see in the middle rounds.
Absolutely. I joined in with my guy VJ Singh. We wrote a piece about who we're looking forward to in the draft. And for me personally, it's weird how all year long we talk about Golden State Warriors and their versatility, the Celtics and their switchability. You know, we love how Harden has the size and the you know, vision to look over guys and score from all over the place. Tatum. We talk about these wings and the wondrous thing they can do, but now we're talking about taking a big man number 1, and Trae Young being talked about in the top 5, top 6. Like, versatility and perimeter, perimeter ability seems like where the league is heading. But we still kind of, there's a little bit of cognitive dissonance where bigger is better, and there's a big man who looks exciting and athletic. Let's go there. So, but like you just say, Zaire Smith, he looks amazing. There's a bunch of wings and forwards. Lonnie Walker,
mm-hmm,
from Florida.
Okay.
Yeah, Lonnie Walker from Florida. There's a bunch of different names of these guys who, you know, they're long. They can play 4. They can play 3 or 4, maybe even some 2. They have these tremendous wingspans and athleticism. Kevin Knox out of Kentucky. He's one of those guys that if you watch him, he kind of pops off the screen. But there's questions about his motor. So all these guys have questions, and maybe they never pan out. Maybe they'll be another Jeff Green. But, like, Jeff Green actually played a really important part for the Cavaliers to get to the finals this year, which, you know, is, he's Jeff Green. But, yeah, man, it's really interesting. The middle rounds will have definitely some gems in the middle rounds.
Again, we're being joined right now by James Holis of bballbreakdown.com as we talk about Thursday's NBA draft. With that being said, let me throw a Utah Jazz question out there. We'll appease to the Jazz fans here for a moment. The Jazz, once again, are picking in the low 20s, 21st overall pick. I've seen everything from a point guard all the way up to a four at this particular spot. There's the impending free agency of Derek Favors, and if Utah brings him back, what route would you like to see the Jazz take in the draft this year?
Oh, so the Jazz right now, they seem set at most positions. I mean, again, it'll never hurt to add another long defensive wing who can, you know, maybe hit spot-up shots. With Derek Favors, maybe, I'm not sure what they're going to do with Favors this summer. I know that a lot of, you know, Utah fans and front office want to keep him, but it's tough to stay so traditional in your front court, even though he does a lot of, you know, backs up Rudy Gay a lot. It's tough to spend a lot of money there when, you know, it's just the league is trending smaller and more flexible. So maybe another stretch four, somebody long who can score the rock a little bit. I don't know, man. You tell me. What do you want to see the Jazz do?
I'm with you on going to the forward spot. I think Amari Spellman, I think, makes a lot of sense. A freshman out of Villanova. He's a skilled big. He can do a couple of things that Rudy Gobert cannot do. And look, this is one of the things I think the Jazz need to focus on in this offseason. I hated the idea of Favors and Gobert together because, to me, there's just too many similarities to what they can bring to the table. I want a stretch four and someone that can score the basketball. And, James, Jazz fans, I think there were a couple of Jazz fans that were not happy with me last week when I said I would do everything in my power to see if I could acquire Kevin Love this offseason. I really would.
Kevin Love would be a good fit there because we know he can score. We know he can rebound. We know that Rudy Gobert would take care of all the, you know, cleanup on defensively. And I guess my one question would be, sure, Love can spread the floor, but he's actually better when he's working from, like, the elbows. And he can post up and you know, beat up on mismatches a little bit. With Rudy Gobert in the game, that's really hard for him to do. But, yeah, he would definitely be a huge boon there playing off of Donovan Mitchell. And, you know, and hopefully Exum comes back healthy. So you got the perimeter length and you got the speed. Kevin Love, he'd definitely be a benefit. He'd be like, you know, a rich man's Ryan Anderson, which is a really good thing.
I'm going to throw another name out there that I would not mind the Jazz taking a look at, and that's Jacob Evans. He's a two-guard out of Cincinnati. I know he's a junior, and at this stage of the game, it seems like scouts look down upon kids. I don't want to say look down upon, but they don't value juniors and seniors the way they value freshmen and sophomores for whatever reason. But I'm talking about a kid that's 6'6", averaged about 13 points per game. To me, it's something that could spell Donovan Mitchell. And I think one of the things that we don't look at enough when we're looking at drafts, it's a puzzle, right? And if you have success in the previous draft, you have to find a way to complement those pieces in some regard. And I think the Jazz have been in a situation where they could draft the best player available over the last few years. I'm looking for them to complement what they did last year in the draft.
Absolutely. So I admit I'm not really a draft-heavy guy, but I've watched a little bit of Jacob Evans. And again, that's like the prototypical wing guy, you know? Size, rugged, can play defense. So that's... You can't get enough of those. You can never have too many 6'6 to 6'8, you know, long-armed, athletic wings who could you could teach hit a spot-up shot. So add to them, man, so you can run them out there and you play small. So that would be definitely a good pickup. I have no problem with that one.
You know, I guess when you're talking about the wings, it's part of the reason why this team had to move on for Rodney Hood, right? Because they weren't going to pay Hood going into this offseason. Somebody will pay Hood, and when you have a wing that's that skilled, that size, and that versatile, I'm talking about what he can do offensive and defensively, you can't lose him for nothing. That's kind of the route you're going with in this logic, right?
I mean, honestly, yes. Yeah. And we saw, Hood has his shortcomings, right? He disappears at times, very inconsistent. Even though he was part of some very good defenses in Utah, we know he's not really a strong defender. And, yeah, again, with the way this team is going, with the team being the Jazz, I couldn't see them investing a lot of money in that, knowing that Donovan Mitchell's coming up, and they, you know, that money can be allocated differently. So, yeah, I could see why he wasn't part of the long-term future, and they did what they could. They made good moves. There's so many guys. And, like Gary Trent Jr., he can shoot. Josh Okogie, that guy could play. There's a lot of guys. Kevin Huerter, there's guys with length inside. They all have the different flaws, but there's so many options out there for the Jazz.
All right, let me throw one more question at you, James, before I let you go. Luka Doncic. I want to talk about Luka for a second because, again, for a lot of people out there, you only see highlights. You'd be hard-pressed to find a game where you could actually sit and watch Luka Doncic through the entire game. And I have a problem with that. It goes back to when the Jazz drafted Enes Kanter a few years ago. I gave him an eye for incomplete because I couldn't really give a true, honest assessment of the way this guy played. We never saw him at Kentucky. For Luka Doncic, it's another guy. I haven't really been able to sit down and watch an entire game. I want to see how he moves away from the ball. I want to see how he's moving off of screens. I want to see things that you don't see in highlights. Even with that being said, we're talking about a 6'7" kid that seems to make everybody around him better. He has the ability to pass. Is he worth a top three pick in this draft, and would you roll the dice with him?
I say tepidly yes, because I'm trying to let my, you know, maybe own subconscious Eurobias come into it. Hey, the kid has all the accolades. He's won at the, you know, the, what's known as the second highest level in the world over there in that EuroLeague, playing for a high-level team. But even he himself said it kind of so. He said it like, you know, I don't think he really – he said, hey, one second I'm playing for Real Madrid where all my teammates are 30 and 31, you know, 10 years older than me, and now I'm going to the NBA. And it shows, man. The athleticism difference is so stark. Jan Vesely was a number six pick and a huge NBA draft bust. Guess what? He was a EuroLeague MVP. I'm not saying this reflects poorly on Luka Doncic. I'm just saying it shows the difference in the two leagues. While skill-wise, sure, EuroLeague is highly skilled, and it's a whole different thing, though, because, you know, it's true. European basketball is different than American basketball. American basketball is very ISO-heavy, high pick-and-roll based, maybe not as much off-ball movement, while Euro basketball is much more team-centric, kind of flowing offenses, which is what we want, but I mean, it remains to be seen. His questions are about his lateral movement and can he get to the rim against a 7-footer versus a 6'9" center, you know, from Estonia. We'll see. He's very talented, so I say yes. I just want to see how he translates against high level athleticism night in, night out.
James Holas again at bballbreakdown.com. James, before I let you go, please let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
I'm on Twitter at Snotty Drippin. You can find me over at B-Ball Breakdown where I've been slacking. Hopefully I'll pick it up in the summer months. I get my motivation back. But, yeah, we're talking draft. We're talking offseason. We'll be talking definitely player movement. I love talking NBA. So check me on Twitter and let's talk.
Definitely looking forward to talking with you again soon, James. Again, thank you so much for the time today.
You're the man. Thanks, bro.
That's James Hollis. Again, I love picking James's brain. He definitely has a different take on the NBA. A lot of good stuff right there. NBA draft coming up on Thursday. We've got a break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up when we return right here on KOAL, 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750 with Jordan Buscarini.
So you can run and tell that, homeboy.
We're back on Drive Time Sports. Jordan Buscarini alongside Travis Anderson. We're going to close out by talking NBA. Why not? Travis, during that last segment, we had James Holas on as we were talking about the draft, and he basically said that he doesn't expect any major player movement until LeBron James makes his decision on where he is going to go. I can see that.
Yeah, it makes sense. He's the first domino to fall, so you want to wait till LeBron picks his choosing spot, and then you'll see everybody else fall into place.
Yeah, I agree with that. That makes a lot of sense. CBS is reporting that first, well, this goes beyond CBS. First, it was reported earlier today that Chris Paul said that he's been recruiting LeBron to Houston, but it appears that LeBron prefers to go to L.A. That's the consensus thought among everybody. I think NBA executives even realize this. CBS is now reporting that if LeBron James chooses L.A., Lonzo Ball would reportedly be a potential trade piece for the Lakers, which means, and again, we know this, wherever LeBron goes, he's not going to be a part of a team that's growing, a young team that needs a couple of years. This guy is going to go into a situation where he can bring another guy or maybe even two with him. We know this, so it shouldn't come as a big shock. Yet, this is a very big story today, and I don't know why. If LeBron goes to L.A., does he play along Lonzo Ball next season? I say no.
I say no, too. I think that you might see a possibility of LeBron when he's going to be on the Los Angeles Lakers. Do you think he's going to be with the Lakers? Because I do.
I do.
I think he's going to choose the Lakers.
I do.
I think he goes hard after Chris Paul and tries to convince Chris Paul to come to the Lakers. And then you're looking at the Lakers trading away their young pieces maybe to get Kawhi Leonard.
I think a Kawhi deal gets done.
Yeah,
if you include Ingram and Lonzo Ball. Yeah, I think it does.
I think so, too. So we knew that he wasn't going to come play with those young guns. He was going to bring in his own guys.
Now, this is the also interesting, I guess, question. And again, this works with what we were just talking about with James Hollis last break. He said, yeah, I guess Kawhi, maybe Kemba Walker would be the first name to be traded if there was a trade on draft night. Even if the Lakers don't get LeBron, and you know I'm a big Lonzo Ball guy, I would still trade Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram to acquire Kawhi Leonard right now if I'm the Lakers. I still make that trade. So, you know what? I think it is a possibility that this deal gets done relatively soon, especially if the Lakers have received a commitment from LeBron. Tampering at all, I'm throwing it out there. We know tampering happens. The Lakers have been charged for tampering before. You know, it makes sense. All this is coming out at the right time. You know, LeBron prefers L.A., says Chris Paul. Okay? The report also today said that the Spurs would, in fact, trade Kawhi within the conference if it benefited them best. I don't think you're going to get a better package than Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, and a first-round pick. You'd have to take Luol Deng's contract, but you could probably move Patty Mills in the process. It makes sense to me. The Lakers would get a guard back in Patty Mills. I think it's going to happen. I really do.
Lonzo Ball is going to be a superstar in this league. He has superstar potential.
He's going to be an all-star. He's an all-star.
He is going to be a very good player. So San Antonio, who trades Kawhi, they get Brandon Ingram to go along with Lonzo Ball, and they can rebuild from that point. And you move a disgruntled player that wants to be in L.A., then you have LeBron, Kawhi, and then, like you said, that they move Luol Deng's contract. The Lakers free up some money there. They can go after Paul George or CP3, and then there's a super team that everybody's been waiting for.
It's going to happen. This is a summer where LA has been...
They're at the big kids table now.
They are.
Everybody had their fun when the Lakers weren't getting recruits. Everybody kept poking fun at the Los Angeles Lakers franchise.
Well, sure. Why wouldn't you?
So they bring in Magic and Rob Pelinka, and now that Magic jumped and said, we're going to make things work here, and he's so far, you know, making things happen.
I don't think it's agent-driven anymore. You know, and L.A., with it being the second biggest market in the country, it's always used as an agent piece. If we're talking the NFL and teams getting a new stadium, 20 years, two decades, franchises in the NFL used L.A. As a ploy to get what they wanted. I think agents have done that with their clients over the last couple of years. Now it's the time. I think Kawhi ends up in L.A., I really do. I think all this leaking, again, it's an agent-driven league, and I think this is proof of it. We are out of time on this edition of the show. I want to thank Coach Jeff Cincinnatus and also James Hollis for taking out the time to join us. We'll be back tomorrow. I want to talk college football on the show tomorrow. Got an interesting question that we're going to debate and talk about. That's coming up tomorrow on Drive Time Sports. He's Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Buscarini. NASCAR Live is coming up next. Be safe. We are out.